150 years that Donaldson has been there. They still have some of the original elders. Jason invited me to come and speak a psalm, it immediately creates a conundrum, because psalms are one of the two genres in the Bible that cannot be preached. You can't preach psalms. You hear them. You receive them. You feel them. You can preach about a psalm. You can preach around a psalm. But in the end, it's poetry, and it works like poetry. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to prepare your heart to hear a psalm. And then I'm going to read it to you from a translation you haven't heard. And then I'm going to talk about the psalm for a little while. And then I'm going to read it again, and your heart will be even more prepared. And I'm very clear about what I want to accomplish tonight. When you walk out, I want you to have a little ache in your heart. Because I'm doing Psalm 42. And since we're in Nashville, I'll just say it's an achy, breaky psalm. So let me prepare your heart. I was with a friend recently, and I can't, ethics require that I don't tell you all the details of why and how we were together, but we were together, and there's music going on in the background, and in this particular case, the music turns out to be Adagio for strings, which many of you have never heard of. Neither had he. By the way, when you go home tonight, if you haven't, that's your assignment. Let me just say this about it. It is the most perfectly sad music that's ever been written. You can't listen to it without this ache arising in you. And as we're listening to Adagio for strings, my friend is totally uneducated about classical music, and so I have this incredible urge to educate him. Do you know that the name of this piece of music is Adagio for strings? He didn't know that, and he needed to. Did you know this piece was written by Samuel Barber? And by the way, he was an alcoholic. Yeah. Did you know this was the background music to one of the great misplayed scenes in the history of cinema? It's the background music to the movie Platoon, and there's a scene where one of the lead characters gets shot up, and there was a technical error, and the blood didn't flow like it should. So it's an absolutely bloodless scene with this music playing in the background, and it was so perfect that the director decided not to redo it. And I wanted to tell him all of those things, because he didn't know any of those things, and he needs to know those things, right? Wrong. Because he's got his eyes closed. And all he needs to do is hear this most perfectly sad music. Psalm 42 is that way. It's that perfectly sad psalm that creates an ache in your heart that is so good. Because when Adagio for Strings is over, the one thing you're sure of is this world is a much better world where perfectly sad music is in it. And this world is such a better world with Psalm 42 in it. We're not quite ready. I had a former student who adopted some children, and they adopted them when they were very young, and it turned out that the children had enormous problems, psychological, physical, emotional. And they were great parents, struggling with the enormity of the responsibility. He was struggling with God. And his father-in-law assigned me to fix it. So I said, how are you and God doing? He paused. He said, well, he hurt my feelings. And I wanted to go and tell his father-in-law, he is in such spiritually great shape. Do you know how much faith it requires to say that? I'm going to invite you to an incredible risk. And that is to have a relationship with God that is so deep that he can actually disappoint you. That's scary. Sometimes it's easier to have a God of whom you have no expectation, so it's impossible for him to disappoint you. You don't expect God to show up, so when he doesn't, it doesn't bother you. You don't really expect God to do anything, so when he doesn't, it doesn't bother you. But in this psalm, the writer has such enormous relationship and expectations of God that the possibility is there for God to disappoint him. You know that the only people who can really hurt you are the people you're close to. Now, we're ready to hear the psalm. It is Psalm 42. I am going to read a different translation, so you probably don't want to read along with me. Just hear the words. To the lead player, a Maskil for the Korahites. As a deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the presence of God? My tears became my bread day and night as they said to me all day long, where is your God? These do I recall and pour out my heart. When I would step up in the procession, when I would march to the house of God with the sound of glad song, of the celebration of the celebrant throng, how bent my being, how you moaned for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him for his rescuing presence. My God, my being is bent for my plight. Therefore do I recall you from Jordan land, from the Hermons and Mount Miser. Deep unto deep calls out at the sound of your channels. All the breakers and waves have surged over me. By day the Lord ordains his kindness, and by night his song is with me. Prayer to the God of my life. I would say to the God, my rock, Why have you forgotten me? Why in gloom do I go hard-pressed by the foe? With murder in my bones, my enemies revile me when they say to me all day long, where's your God? How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. That opening image, the most famous part of the psalm. It's a deer longs for water. I've been on one of those sort of animal watching safaris in Africa a couple of times, and you always go to the water holes because, you know, that's where the animals are going to be. I guarantee you the lions know that's where the deer go. They have a little meeting there. And when I think about this image, I can't keep from thinking about that massive fire they had in Australia a few years back. And I remember seeing this person who's got this koala bear, and they've got this water bottle, and the koala is holding onto the water bottle, just drink, 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 drink. And the psalmist can think of no more compelling image than my longing for God is like the thirsty animal that longs for water. It's that constant ache. I've met with a lot of young preachers for the last several years, and one of the things I always tell them is you got to be on a spiritual quest. I don't want to listen to a preacher who's not on a spiritual quest. I want to listen to somebody who's still exploring the frontiers of their faith, who's still looking for what the next deeper relationship with God might be. That's the person I want to listen to, somebody who's thirsty. They're so desirous of God. And then the writer gets nostalgic because he's somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And all he can think about is the good old days when he used to go to temple and how they would march in the procession together up to the temple and where they would worship God. And he's got this longing in his heart to have that experience again, and instead he's stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. I remember my personal low point during COVID. Now, I need to hasten to say that I was preparing for the COVID plague my whole life. Silence and solitude, I got this. Well, it turns out I'm fairly immature. I like my silence and solitude, but I like it when I want it, where I want it. I don't like it having forced on me. But I remember the moment. The one moment of what I would describe as true depression. It was Easter. All stuck at home on Easter. I remember those Easter gatherings that were so wonderful, and now we're all stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. And his heart aches to the point of breaking. And the image he uses is it's like a flood. It's like the sea. It's like the deeps are rolling over me. I was at a monastery in New Mexico a few years ago, and it was in a canyon way up there, and they had a thunderstorm while we were there. And it had been a long time. I live in Texas, so we don't really do canyons. We don't really do rain. And hearing that thunder roll through that canyon, it was like it would never end. And the author says, okay, it's not just the thunder, it's the sea that's rolling over me, and I am just absolutely overwhelmed. And there are these people out there who want to kill me. We don't know if it's metaphorical or not. I'm guessing probably not. And they don't just want to kill him. They're sort of making fun of him. Where's your God? Where is this God you talk about? But two different times, he says, hope in God. For yet I will acclaim him for his rescuing presence. Hope in God. For yet I will acclaim him, his rescuing presence, and my God. Okay, let me tell you the great secret of preaching. I don't do it anymore, so now I can tell you. Preaching depends on failure. Because if ever one time I preached that perfect sermon that would make your ache go away, you would never come back again. And I know you're rooting for me. So edge up to it. Try to say the one thing that needs to be said. This God who rescues is here, but we can't quite get it said. So you come back the next week and we try again. And this ache is our way of life, because we're never entirely home here. It is an ache like homesickness. It is the greatest ache in the world. And I've been thinking about this all day. I've been living all day with this ache, and it is so wonderful. This constant thirsting, leaning into God, knowing at some point the ache will go away, but right now the ache is the constant reminder that there's something more, something bigger, something greater than this mess. One of the reasons why I like to go to monasteries is they swim in the Psalms. In monasteries, the monks chant the whole Psalter pretty much every week. I've committed myself to reading the Psalms every month. I know that's not as good as every week, but I have a life. got other things to do. If you're interested, it's 80 verses a day. There's about 2,400 verses in Psalms. February, you got to kind of put the pedal to the metal. 15 minutes a day. Say them out loud. Swim in the Psalms. In the absence of God, you swim in the Psalms. In the presence of God, you swim in the Psalms. When you're lamenting, you swim in the Psalms. And when you're so joyful you can't stand it, you swim in the Psalms. This ever-present ache, like the blues, that makes the world so much better. It tells you you're alive. That there's a God pulling on your heart. An ache that never gets completely fulfilled in this life. To the lead player, the Maskil for the Korahites. As a deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the presence of God? My tears become my bread day and night, as they said to me all day long, where's your God? These do I recall and pour out my heart when I would step in the procession, when I would march to the house of God with the sound of glad song of the celebrant thong. How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him for his rescuing presence. My God, my being is bent for my plight. Therefore do I recall you from Jordan land, from the Hermons, from Mount Mizar. Deep unto deep calls out at the sound of your channels. All your breakers and waves have surged over me. By day the Lord ordains his kindness, and by night his song is with me. Prayer to the God of my life. I would say to the God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why in gloom do I go, hard-pressed by the foe, with murder in my bones? My enemies revile me when they say to me all day long, where is your God? How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him. His rescuing presence, and my God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore, world without end. Amen.